Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. This week we have a special guest, Dwight Bain, who will be sharing with us about how to get a return on the most important things of life. And so we turn it over now as he shares a good word with us.
I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. I was blessed. Maybe some of you are in that group to be blessed. I had teenage parents who had me when they were in high school in Appalachia, and they ran away to Orlando. And I say blessed because if you have teenage parents, it's sort of like having older siblings. They didn't really know how to say no. So if I said, I want more donuts, they said, well, yeah, you're just hungry. There were kids I heard about that had something called a curfew. I never had one of those. I was a good kid, but I absolutely loved being able to grow up here in Central Florida. So there's a principle that I live by. You'll see it on the screen. Until you know the backstory, you don't know the real story. When you know the real story, you can change the rest of the story. You have a story. I've been a counselor over 30 years, and sometimes I sit down and I listen to a guy, and I'll say, tell me your story. And here's the great thing, Pat. Because I work with a lot of people in business or even some pro athletes, people that are very successful in their career, and they'll tell me the story. And remember, this is in an office with confidential, all that kind of stuff. And I'll say, now tell me what you didn't tell me.
What do you mean?
Tell me the secrets. Tell me the lies. Tell me the lust. Tell me the pride. Tell me you're moody, angry with your kids. Tell me about what's not working. Now we're going to get somewhere as we talk about the affair, or we talk about the missing money or the pending bankruptcy or the cancer diagnosis that I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to see how it works out. Here's how it works out. It's illustrated, not with this one. I brought one and I left it sitting here, and the very efficient staff took it because it looked the same, right? A couple months ago, I get up, I have my coffee, I poured this in, it's clumpy. And my first thought was not, honey, your coffee is ready, I've got your coffee right here, hon. Not my first thought. My first thought was to look at the date. It wasn't expired. It was a month from expired. Here's the point. Everything has an expiration date. You too. Turn to my next to you and say, you have an expiration date. So everybody has an expiration date. I have an expiration date. You have an expiration date. So let me tell you some things about guys. Because I've got stress, you've got stress, all God's people got stress. We all feel stress and pressure. I kind of grew up in that because I didn't know any better. I remember going to a function when I was maybe 11, and somebody said, oh, you're May's little bastard child. And I didn't know what the word bastard meant. So I went home and said, Mom, this family member at this family function said this, and she said, who said it? And I didn't see them again until I was an adult. Because I didn't know then, because I'd grown up with parents who always said special birth, special purpose. So I never thought it was bad. I just thought it's how I got here. But for some people, they've got a secret. They paid for an abortion, or two, or 10. And secrets will eat you alive. Stress, we live in a time, maybe some would argue, maybe the most stressful time, Connor, we were talking about that. Stress, so people are going to be talking about mental health, awareness. And when you see it, guys are burning out. And I want you to know, it's not a sign that they're weak, it's a sign that they're human. And being able, how do we deal with all the stress and all this pressure? Well, it starts by having some honest conversations, right? Because each one of these pressure points creates a brick, what I call a wall of numbness, and then depression, self-destructive behavior, alcoholism, porn, rage, suicide. Hurricane Nicole, last week, 2 deaths. Same day, 22 suicides. And you say, wow. Yeah. My 30-year career, more suicides than my entire career. What's happening? And if you work in engineering, you know things break at the weakest point. Well, that means they're weak. No, that means they're human. But the more I can get honest and deal with some things, I can mitigate some of that stress, some of that pressure. So moving beyond this, here's how it looks, right? So there's something painful that happened in your life. Maybe you were abused as a kid. 1 in 7 guys were sexually abused by a family member. Maybe your dad, like my dad, was like my hero. He worked 3 jobs so I could have private education because he said education is a way out of poverty. It's true. My dad's a hero. That's why, Pat, I pushed him in a wheelchair for a long time when he started getting Alzheimer's. And people would say, oh, that's so great what you do with your dad. Why wouldn't anybody? He's my hero, right? Just doesn't wear a cape. Other people had dads who belittled, name-called, beat them down, just crushed their spirit. I don't understand that. I didn't grow up with that. But I know this. If you have pain, see how it squeezes life out? So sometimes I'll tell guys, are you in a tunnel or a cave? If it's a cave, the longer you live, the darker it gets. If you're in a tunnel, there's light on the other side, right? Psalms 34, there's a principle. David said, this poor man cried out, and God heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. So here's how it works psychologically. If you cry out, you don't act out. To cry out, to be able to say, man, I'm insecure. So now I don't have to act out with sexual addiction or, you know, lust chasing tail. If somebody cries out, I feel so afraid, they don't have to act out with drugs or alcohol. Fentanyl deaths and alcohol substance abuse-related deaths are higher than they've been in my entire career. Well, it's because it's more accessible. No, I think it's because people are more stressed, and if you don't start to talk about it, it eats you alive. It's not because you're weak, it's because until you and I start to cry out, openly talk about stuff, nothing gets better. Now, we live in a time where people like Michael Phelps are saying, this is the most overwhelmed I've ever felt. Guys are starting to talk about things. Strong guys are saying, it's pretty hard. Good. That's a sign of wellness. Because the road after crisis, after this COVID thing, there's a lot of bumps in the road coming. So what's going to happen? You're going to see 2 groups. A group that get stronger, healthier. I would call it wellness. In part because they openly talk about stuff. And a group that are drowning. Throw them life jackets. Don't judge. I was in that group for a long time until I understood some things. Oh, let me go back to this quote. I want you to see it. In times of drastic change, it's the learners who inherit the future. The learned find themselves equipped to live in a world that no longer exists. Big buildings, big budgets, big things in a recession. How does that work? If you know how to learn and you know how to listen, and listen, you know how to change. Eric, when people say, what do? I'll say, I help people change. Well, what does that mean? I help them to see, and I help them to change. Half the battle is when somebody can come in and say, okay, I've been having affairs, I paid for a couple of abortions, been cheating on my wife for a long time, she's divorcing me, my kids hate me, but I want to do something about it. Hey, half the battle's done. Now it's just, let's correct some things. See all relationships, like here's a person, and here's a big patch of grass, think like a football field. If you water it, take care of it, it doesn't catch on fire. If it's just waiting for one spark, it burns up quick. When guys say, I want to change, something powerful happens. They change, it looks like this. They gain some new skills. The painful thing in their life's still there. But they gain some new skills and life feels bigger because it is. I love this quote from the Japanese poet, Murakami, once the storm is over, you won't remember how you made it through, how you managed to survive. You won't even be sure whether the storm is over. But one thing is certain. When you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person that walked in. I don't know your story. I'm telling you part of mine. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ changed my life. Not education, Christ. And when I think about things that happen in life, if you're paying attention, you can actually see things coming. If you're not paying attention, it's like this tree in our front yard. It's called a crepe myrtle. Every year when it gets cold, the lawn guy chops it down to the next to nothing, and it looks like it's dead. But pruning makes it grow better. pruning is an interesting concept in the Bible. Because if you prune and you cut out things that don't need to be there, it grows better. I wonder what could be pruned in your life right now. Because pruning, it grows better. It does better. It starts to look like that. You can almost watch it grow. And when I think about this, moving that direction, I lived in a world where there's so much problems and I'm a people helper. And so this verse made a lot of sense until it didn't. Isaiah, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And I believe that, so it almost killed me. The on-purpose coach is Kevin McCarthy. He's a great friend, lives in Winter Park. And Kevin in 2006 said, I have to see you, it's urgent. Okay. He said, I'm going to bring you lunch. What do you want? I told him. Came to my office. He said, okay, I got to talk to you, it's urgent. Kevin, what's up? He said, I'm worried about you. He said, you're running ragged. You're maybe 100 pounds overweight. You're never at home. I think you're just a walking heart attack. And I got my feelings hurt. And I thought words I did not say because I grew up Baptist and mom said, you can't say those words, but I thought them. And I said, Kevin, you know, because you get that deep Steve Brown voice, Kevin, you're wasting your time. I am, it's fine that you came, but listen, I am fine. F-I-N-E, frustrated, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. I am good. 6 months later, going to work with troops in Iraq and Afghanistan during the surge of 2006. So I had a heart attack. I got to a hospital in time to have the heart surgery. And on the cardiac unit, the first few days are glorious. I mean, you don't see Elvis or anything, but you're checked out. And then you start to kind of come to, and you have to get permission. My wife said, there's a guy here to see you. He says his name is Kevin. And I thought, well, the word that you know, but I didn't say it because mom said, don't say that word. And I said, send him back. And Kevin walked in. And he said, Dwight. And I said, just go ahead and say it. What was I thinking he was going to say? Told you so. And that's exactly what I said. I said, I know you're here to say I told you so. He said, Dwight, I'll never forget this. He said, Dwight, I told you so 6 months ago. I'm here to say, thank God you're alive. There's still work to do. I'm just glad you got a second chance. Me too, Kevin. Because if you try to do everything by yourself, you know what happens? You collapse. So there's a principle that I want you to see, right? The clock of life. Horace said, carpe diem, rejoice while you are alive, enjoy the day, live life to the fullest, make the most of what you have. It's later than you think. At your table, there is a little picture of that clock. Please take it, circulate it. Every guy gets a clock. Every guy gets a pen. And here's how to make you wonder, why did I get up to listen to this guy? I want you to take the pen and just mark where you're at. Right? That's a pretty simple chart, 20, 40, 60, 80. The Centers for Disease Control yesterday when I looked it up said, if you're a Caucasian male like me, my life expectancy is not quite 75 years. Now, the financial planner guy says, no, you need to plan for 85. But if the CDC is accurate, half of the people are gone by 75. That effectively puts me in the fourth quarter. Not bad. You win games in the fourth quarter. You do your greatest work in the fourth quarter. I don't know, Pat, if you've seen Arthur Brooks' new book, Strength to Strength. Transformational. I'm reading it the second time. Wow. You do your greatest work post 55. The Blue Zone study around the world National Geo has done for decades, the happiest guys globally are over the age of 55 because they know their purpose. So when you identify where you're at on that clock, good news, it just helps you to be able to see how much time you have to make a difference. And as you take a look at it, Jim Quick, the brain coach that we use, says, why do we glorify being busy? I was that guy. You know, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Either way, aren't you out? And then Kobe, a couple months before he died, the biggest mistake we make in our life is thinking we have more time. Well, that's a mistake. Because how do you know you're going to have, I mean, you know you have today. Reminds me of what King Solomon wrote eons ago, Proverbs 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Perfume and incense may bring joy to the heart. The pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Basically, on that one, instead of like the bumper sticker, I got your back, bro, which I think is a bumper sticker, better is, I got your front. Who cares enough in your life to confront? That's a healthy relationship. Because everybody here needs to change. Some of you know the guys at your table, some don't. But if you want to have fun, let's just do it together. It'll help so it won't be awkward. Turn to somebody at your table, look them dead in the eye and say you need to change. Just try that. Just try that. Doesn't that feel good? It's kind of therapeutic. It's like, I've been wanting to say that to this guy for a long time. And then Solomon said, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Thank you, King Solomon. Because when I start to look at this, it illustrates the principle of the philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. Life is the sea between B and D. I interpret it this way. You can't choose your first day, your birthday. You can't choose your last day. Well, I'm going to live 75.3. Yeah, statistics are funny things. You can't choose your first day or your last day, but you can choose better how you live today. You and I can live better today. And when we choose to live better, if you take your clock, because I just gave you an idea of where you're at, flip it over. I'm going to teach you a principle that's about the R's. Now, I know those of you that work in finance understand ROI. Oh, return on investment. Same concept, throw that one away. Because I want to teach you about ROT, return on time. Return on time looks like this. Warren Buffett said, two words separate successful people from everyone else. It's not about time management, it's about self-management. Wow. Self-management. I mean, you would think Buffett would talk about financial management. No. Time's pretty interesting because you can get more money, but you can't get more time. But self-management? Self-aware. Right? Write this one down, Connor. Self-aware is rare. Self-aware is rare. You want to see a great leader? See somebody who's aware enough. And how will you know? You'll see humility and brokenness and surrender. And you'll hear IDC more than a KIA. IDC is, I don't know. Let's figure it out. KIA is know-it-all. Know-it-alls will not do well in this post-pandemic time because you can't know it all. You can be learning it all, and you can say, I don't know. Let's do some research together. Now, research is different than me-search. Research is actually to look at all of the voices in the marketplace. Me-search is to Google what I want to hear anyway, and Google will happily tell you what you wanted to hear. You'll say, see, I thought so. I'm right. That's called confirmation bias. Does not make you a better human. Buffett's right. We need self-management. ROR, return on relationship. Return on relationship. Those names are men that have invested in me and confronted and challenged and cared and cried to make me a better human. Ron Sykes, Joe Cristiano, Dan Ford, Raul Tamayo, Pat Williams, Elmer Towns, Steve Brown. If you want to find out all the evil, self-centered, prideful things that I have done and said, Steve said, if you'll give him a significant contribution, he'll tell you all my secrets. I said, I didn't think it worked like that. He said, I'm not Catholic. I'm Presbyterian. He said, and I'm old. I went, this sucker and this old man's playing me. John Maxwell, Jim Henry, Paul Williamson, Phil Fretwell, Dean Chapman, Walt Larimore. Oh, yeah. And he can't be here today. He's in Carolina encouraging a friend. At a thing called Man in the Mirror, almost 30 years ago, I was tired and empty and drained. Pat, I met you then. And I came in empty. And I sat at a table with a guy that started something that was supposed to help empty, drained. And I was trying to be a community leader. And when I say empty and insecure, I mean struggling with fears and doubts and lust and insecurity and just feeling empty. And Pat helped me get to a table with a guy named Robert Stewart, my best friend in the world, my brother. Can't be here today, but I met him at Man in the Mirror. And every bad day and every good day, Robert's been there. You know Robert. Because I was vulnerable enough to be able to say, oh God, I'm screwed up. I used a different word in my head, but Mom said I can't say that word. And a guy named Robert said, me too. Let's do life together. What's your return on relationship? Not how many people are going to show up at your funeral. Do you have ROR? Because if you do, then this next part will make sense. Community is essential to rebuild lost connections. Johann Hari wrote a book called Lost Connections. And in the post-pandemic time that we're in, you're going to hear a lot about mental health. And I'm telling you, not everybody needs counseling, but everybody needs community. We cannot function without community and community wellness. Community is what we're in right now. Return on time, return on relationship, return on energy, having a sense of purpose, my friend Dan Amen says, allows us to reach beyond ourselves to affirm that our lives matter. Without a spiritual connection, many people experience an overriding sense of despair. Morality, values, and a spiritual connection to others are critical for many people to feel a sense of wholeness and a reason to get up in the morning and a reason to take good care of themselves. When people have a sense of my life has a purpose. Viktor Frankl, in a Nazi death camp, stayed alive because he said someone has to stay alive to tell this story to the world. He wrote Man's Search for Meaning 2 weeks after being rescued by the GIs. And it's transformed the world. But it was his purpose. He said, I have to stay alive to tell the story. Yesterday, I talked to a guy who's been struggling with some stuff. His daughter's wedding is in 3 months, and we're talking together. And he's being stubborn about some things, and my job is sometimes to help a person find the truth, not be loud. If somebody's loud, they don't think you're listening, and they're getting louder. People getting louder and arguing doesn't prove who's right. It proves who's good at arguing. And I said this, you know, and I thought, this isn't going anywhere. Daughter's name, I called the daughter's name. I said, could you tell your dad what it'll be like to go to your wedding without your dad walking you down the aisle because he won't change his pattern with alcohol and substances? And she started to cry. And she said, Dad, she got more done than counseling ever could because he could hear her. And he started to cry. Okay. I said, see, your life does matter. The day before that, I was talking to some family members of a local leader who committed suicide, who didn't think his life mattered. These are beyond challenging times, but if you know how to keep your energy recharged, other people will say, what keeps you going? I don't understand. How come you're not burned out? And you'll be able to talk about ROE. Or better, what the philosopher Willie Nelson said, when I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around. Preach it, Willie. It's Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Most people would say family or friends. Do you spend time with them? You thankful for your health? Do you work on your health? I'm thankful for my faith. I'm thankful that no matter where I'm supposed to be that morning, I learn from some godly friends to get up, make the coffee, to be able to take a book, it's kind of marked up, and say, I wonder what I could hear. Because if you're quiet, he comes. You have to be quiet. You have to turn off the noise. You have to turn off these things. And in the quiet, Lord, what would you have me do? Well, it would be do things that where there's a return on time. Finding out what's happening in sports scores or stock market. Warren Buffett says, he calls it Mr. Market. Mr. Market's always shouting and screaming. He said, don't pay attention to Mr. Market. Pay attention to what matters. There's a return on relationships because you invest in people. There's a return on energy. You're not burned out, tired, exhausted, depleted because you know the things to keep your human body healthy as long as you can. Oh, yeah. What's ROI? Not money. It's return on influence. And in the middle of those circles, would you write the word legacy? Because return on influence is your legacy. Everything has an expiration date. I do, you do. Everything has an expiration date. So what's your legacy? Dr. King said, Christianity has always insisted that the cross we bear precedes the crown we wear. To be a Christian, one must take up his cross with all of its difficulties and tragedy-packed content and carry it until that very cross leaves its mark upon us. Jesus Christ changed my life. I have the type of job and I work in the type of industry to help people change, typically men who are in really complicated situations. But one of the most exciting things is when I can say, tell me what you believe. And sometimes they'll tell me that they're Episcopal, and I'll say, thank you, that wasn't the question. What do you believe? With a friend of mine last year, he said, I got this diagnosis. He's a successful guy, got a bunch of employees. He said, I'm not ready to die. I said, I agree, right? My little clock thing. You know, technically, still a little too young, but the cancer diagnosis doesn't seem to care because they said stage three, and they said 6 months, and they said get your affairs in order. So here's my question, to be able to say, if this is your last day, like if it's not 6 months, if it's now, what matters most? WMM. What matters most? You know, somebody says family, okay, what are you doing about it? Well, they know I love them. Really? Because they're mind readers, or do you actually use the words? Well, I pay the bills. Okay, well, if that's love, then I know some nice people at the Christian Service Center that would like to feel the love. Can you feel the love tonight? What matters most? Nothing against your family or your friends or your business or your money. I can tell you what matters most is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because on your last day, and there's no reason to believe that it wouldn't be today, right? You get out of the parking lot, you drive over here, the sunrail decides to run you over. Well, Dwight, that's not going to happen to me. Really? Do tell. There's no guarantee, with the exception of one thing. At a funeral, when the family and the friends are able to say, I knew that he lived out his faith in Christ. It wasn't religion. It was real. How do you know it's real? Oh, simple. They live different. So instead of moody like their father and angry and yell and scream and be verbally abusive, somehow they change that. How'd they change it? Heart change. Heart surgery. You know, their dad had lots of affairs. How come they don't have affairs? Something changed inside. What's the change? The master. Religion doesn't do that. It can't. Religion gives you some fantastic things to argue about next week at Thanksgiving. Politics even better. And if you really can have some political and religious fights next week, you're going to save a ton of money on Christmas presents. It's fantastic. I'll never talk to those people again. Honey, we're not buying them anything. Cha-ching. What changes people? Here's what changed me. Oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I need you. I'm so broken. And in the quietness with some Christian friends and the closest one I met right here at Man in the Mirror, they helped me to see the Jesus that changes hearts and changes lives and changes moods and changes choices to live better, to live free. Pat asked me if I would share a story with you. I said, sure. He said, could you share the most important story? I said, yeah. So let's do that. If you would just bow your head, close your eyes. I'll talk to you for a minute. Because if it was your last day, if it was your last day today, do you know Jesus? Not the Jesus of Christmas and Easter, but that Jesus is like a personal relationship that you can feel. I hope so. But in a group this size, I know better. If it was your last day, I want you to have made peace, like my friend who had the cancer diagnosis. I said, what do you know about Jesus? And we talked about a man who lived a sinless life, who died for the sins of others. And I was so happy because we were able to pray a prayer. And here's what I'd like to do right now. And to make it simple, I want everybody to pray this out loud. And maybe you say, I already know Jesus. Just, I want you to pray it out loud because maybe there's somebody at your table as they hear your voice, it'll give them the courage for the first time. So please pray out loud after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, for broken men like me. And Lord God, I pray that you would see the brokenness and that your blood would cover my sin. God, come into my heart, come into my life, and save me. And I pray in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.